Speaking on this program is Vernon Joins.
We'll be discussing the subject that was taken from the Old Testament, How Lonely Sits the City. This was written in the Book of Lamentations, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah is the writer. He said, How lonely sits the city that was full of people? She has become like a window. She once was great among the nations. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate. Jeremiah, in writing this particular passage of Scripture, is often referred to as the weeping prophet because he talks about the terrible condition that the Israelites were in at this time. But he had much to cry about. And taken captive by the Chaldeans with the other Jews, then by the Egyptians when they fought with the Chaldeans. When the Chaldeans destroyed the city of Jerusalem, that's when Jeremiah wrote the preceding passage of Scripture. Many places flourish for a time and then become desolate. But Jerusalem has long been a very special city. And that this city should become desolate is tragic. How lonely sits the city? Jerusalem is the holy city for the Jews. Although of some importance before, the city of Jerusalem became the center of things when David ruled as king over Israel. To this city, David triumphantly brought Goliath's head, 1 Samuel 17:54. And we read of Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 7. David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. It was made the center of government, and it was to become also the religious center. Here David offered the sacrifice that was to cleanse Israel from the plague of his own rebellion. In 2 Samuel 24, verses 10 through 25, and it was to Jerusalem that David brought the Ark of the Covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 6. When David turned the government to his son Solomon, he gave instructions about the house of the Lord that was to be built. He had been told by God, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war. And Solomon thy son, he shall build my house. 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, verses 3 and 6. When Solomon became king, he immediately began building the temple in Jerusalem. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, and the 5th chapter, verse 1. Thus, as Israel had looked to Jerusalem for governmental leadership, now Israel looked there for the spiritual guidance as well. Throughout the Scripture, the city is called by terms denoting its spiritual significance. It is often called the city of God in Psalms 46 and verse 4, Psalms 48 verses 1 and 2, again in Psalms 87 verses 2 and 3, and so forth. It's also called the Holy City, Nehemiah 11:1, 11:18, Isaiah 48, and verse 2. In recording the life and times of Jesus on earth, the term is prevalent. Then the devil taketh him up into the Holy City, Matthew 4 and verse 5. In Matthew 27, describing events after the death of Jesus, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. That the holy city would become desolate is sad indeed. But listen to the lament of Jesus in Matthew 23 and verse 37. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, behold, your houses is left unto you desolate, and how lonely sits the city. Jerusalem is the birthplace of the Lord's church. In Zechariah 1:16, God promised, I will. return to Jerusalem with mercies, my house shall be built in it. So if you're looking for the church of our Lord, you'll have to look for one that started in the city of Jerusalem. Now this dealt with more than just the temple of the Jews, for it foretold a spiritual house, the house of God, which is the church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The promise of Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, reveals a time and place for the church's beginning, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jesus made similar promises to his apostles when he said, "Tarry ye in the city of until ye be clothed with power from on high. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In Luke 24:49 and also Acts 1 and verse 8. So they waited in the holy city. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." These thoughts come from Acts, the second chapter, verse 1, verse 4, verse 16 and 17, also verse 36 and 41 and 47. In Jerusalem, then, in the last days, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ began, and this was according, remember, to the promise that Isaiah made, and this was God, of course, revealing the truth through him. Beginning in Jerusalem, the church grew rapidly, developing the strength of numbers that was necessary to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this was given in the Great Commission in Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15. From the 3,000 on Pentecost, the number was soon 5,000 men. Acts 4 and verse 4. Then believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Acts 5 and verse 14. Opposition of the unbelievers only fanned the flames of zeal in the followers of Christ, and the number of the disciples was multiplied, and the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Acts 6 verses 1 and 7. When persecution finally drove most of them from Jerusalem, the disciples went everywhere preaching the word, that is, those that were scattered abroad, in Acts 8 and verse 4. The Jerusalem church sent preachers to other places, Acts 11 verse 22, Acts 15 and verse 27. So that Paul wrote later that believing Gentiles owed them a spiritual debt in Romans 15 and verse 27. How tragic if the birthplace of Christianity again became desolate. But such is the case. Jerusalem, how lonely sits the city. You can sit on the Mount of Olives and look across the Brook Kidron to the old city. A Muslim mosque, the Mosque of Omar, sits on the site of the old Jewish temple. That the Islamic religion should dominate in the city of Jerusalem is indeed sad. Believing that Allah only is God, and that Muhammad is his prophet, the Muslims reject the redemptive message of the gospel. They do not believe in the salvation Jesus died for, nor do they believe in the God revealed in the Bible, or else they would not conduct themselves as they do, in literally murdering hundreds and maybe thousands of people. Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jews, is again controlled by Jewish government. But the dominance of the Jewish religion is also evident. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. Again he declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 14 and verse 6. To this truth the apostles testified later in Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus was, and is the Messiah, or he is the Christ, the anointed of God, of the Jewish prophecy. Their rejection of him alienated them from God 1,900 years ago or more. And the truth has not changed. They rejected Jesus as Christ is to reject God in Luke 10 and verse 16. It is to reject salvation, Acts 4 and verse 12. But both Muslim and Jew reject Jesus as Lord and Christ. But even among the so-called Christian groups, Christ can hardly be found. He's still asking, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things of which I say? In Luke 6 and verse 46. For those of his day who made up their own rules in religious matters, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In Matthew 15 and verse 9. Yet on every place where they can prove Jesus once walked or sat or taught or anything else, religionists have built a shrine or a cathedral or a sanctuary. And nearly all are devoted to either fundraising or the teachings of men. In John 2, verses 12 through 17, we read of Jesus finding merchandising in the temple. He drove them all out and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Considering the false religions and covetous attitudes that dominate Jerusalem today, maybe another cleansing is in order. How lonely sits the city. New Jerusalem, the Lord's church. Prophecy repeatedly tells of the restoration of Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. The writer reveals that New Jerusalem is not a place such as Sinai was. It is a spiritual gathering, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so revealed in Revelation 3:12. The city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. This city is described by John in Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But the bride of Christ, according to Ephesians 5:22-23, is the church. What is the New Jerusalem? Why, it's the Lord's church. What a blessing that we are not dependent on the physical city of Jerusalem for spiritual life. The New Jerusalem is a people, not a place. Note the reading in 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5, 9, and 10. A living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. Ye also are living stones, are built up a spiritual house. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God. No longer dependent on a specific city as the center of our religious life. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3 and verse 20. God promised in Isaiah 55, verse 11, my word shall not return unto me void. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. That word, preached and believed and obeyed, will produce the new Jerusalem, the church, just as it did more than 1,900 years ago, Acts 2. While we may well regret that Jerusalem has not accepted Jesus Christ to trust and to obey Him, we should rejoice that we do not depend on Jerusalem as a place to draw near to our God. Jesus promised in Matthew 18:20 and 28:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The old Jerusalem became desolate, but such will never happen to the new Jerusalem. Jesus promised in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is the new Jerusalem, and the words can never be true for her, how lonely sits the city. For Christ loves and protects and will save His church in eternity. Thank you for listening.